Welcome to Walk Together Fiercely. We are just so glad to have you here. We invite and we also thank you for being a part of our community. Thank you for choosing to spend some of your precious time with us. We know how valuable it is. I am Michelle Morrison. I am a medium and an intuitive, and I support people to make beautiful spiritual connections with loved ones on the other side, with angels and spirit guides, and I love helping people tune into their own amazing intuition.
I am Dr. Tara Drummond, and I'm a naturopathic doctor, and I'm passionate about empowering people in all aspects of health and well-being. Our intention is to create community and connection. We do that with open hearts, minds, and a whole lot of love and laughter. The more we know ourselves, the deeper connection we can have within, which allows us to deepen connections around us.
We feel so passionately about this. You matter. That you are so important and that you belong, and we are creating and connecting to the hearts and wisdom of our bodies, mind, and spirits, nurturing and growing compassion, empathy, and community. We know that we are so much better together, and so let's walk together fiercely through this beautiful, sometimes really challenging, life as light warriors of love. Together with open minds and hearts, we can create a community where we celebrate, play, and thrive. Thank you for being here. Hello, hello.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome everyone. We have been having, just so you know, FYI, I mean, what is new? We always do this, but we've been having a heart-to-heart
pre-chat,
and it has been a little bit of, you know, I just want to say this because this leads into what we're speaking about, Tara, so I do want to acknowledge this, and again, checking to see if Reese is listening to our podcast, but like we were talking about what it's like for differences between mothers and fathers in certain things, and if a mother is picking her kids up from school, it's like, yeah, whatever, that's cool. If the dad goes and picks his kids up from school, it's like, oh my God,
you're so dreamy, such
a good dad. So, and you were saying like one of the things that you want to do intentionally this year is to gush to other mothers about, you know, how, what an amazing job they're doing and, you know, how they're showing up. And yes, I love this conversation. And it's going to lead us into our conversation today, essentially, right? But yeah, we had a good heart to heart about that. Just FYI.
I feel like it was funny and fiery. And that's what we're coming to this one with. I feel like sometimes I get inspired to do episodes because there's a fire in me. There's a passion, and it sometimes feels like that's an injustice or that's unethical or that's not okay. Like things that I see that feel not okay to me light this fire, this passion in me. And this is one that I want to bring to the table and talk about because it's close to my personal heart and my professional heart.
Yeah.
So, and not that it's two different, it's one and the same. There's a fire in me that was lit by an experience that you had. And we're going to bounce off of that.
Yeah.
We're talking today about power and pedestals.
Yeah.
Right? So knowing that when we put another person on a pedestal, which I am guilty of doing in the past, I continue to do, and it's something I'm mindful of.
Yeah.
So
I think we all do this.
I think so too. There's probably somebody listening that goes, oh, Michelle's so amazing. She's so great.
Tara's so amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, Michelle talks to spirit. She probably knows all the answers. Her life's probably butterflies and rainbows. And it's this pedestaling.
Butterflies and rainbows. Well, that's hilarious.
It is true.
Yeah, lots of it for sure. Because I'm, you know, if you could see what's in my mind's eye sometimes, yeah, you'd be like, oh yeah, butterflies and rainbows in there.
cue
the circus monkeys.
So we're here today to kick out those pedestals, to share our humanness, which is always our intention on this podcast, is having people feel connected and supported in this equal way, this we're here with you, we're walking together fiercely, right? Mm-hmm. We're all together walking together fiercely.
Mm-hmm.
So when I think of putting somebody else on a pedestal, and this is a beautiful teaching because you can look and see what you admire in them. So to me, anybody that I want to put on a pedestal, it's like, let that inspire me
mm-hmm.
too, is my newer part of this, opposed to feeling low self-esteem and giving your power away to
Absolutely.
The person on the pedestal.
Yes.
So this can come from that low self-esteem place, right? They're better than me. I'm not as good, or whatever it is, but you are going more into a powerless way and you are giving your power to the person on the pedestal. So let's go back to when I met you, and it was, well, in hindsight, my soul recognized yours and there was such a giddiness to that,
mm-hmm.
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And you just resonated with me so... I just loved you from the moment I met you. And I can see your beauty. And sometimes that would put you on a pedestal, especially in the first few years when I'm following and going to your things and wanting to learn from you. It was mm-hmm. so inspiring. And now I get to love you as an equal. Mm-hmm. And we know that neither, there's no pedestals. Mm-mm. It's love is love.
Mm-hmm.
But that has asked of me to bring back my power that I do know for myself. And this is your message on the podcast always.
Mm-hmm.
Can you actually speak a bit to that? Because you love inspiring people to connect to their own intuition
Absolutely.
And be their own best guru and not to yeah. look to Michelle for the answer. Michelle's yeah. going to tell me in a reading the answer.
I tell people all the time, I don't feel that what I have is some sort of supernatural gift. I don't. I feel that I choose to use it. And that might be the only difference between me and person A or B, mm-hmm. is that I'm choosing to use it. And so I think, do all of us need to use it in this way? No, absolutely not, because that might not be your interest. And so I think it's so beautiful that each of us bring beautiful characteristics and qualities forward. And, you know, for example, like, if I wanted to know something about money or an investment, I mean, Reese is the bomb. Like, you know, this is where his characteristics and qualities are. This is where his talents lie. And he's shining in that area. If I want to know something about how energy or chi is flowing through my body, or which meridian I need to focus on, or which herb would be really helpful right now, Tara will know, because Tara has this amazing ability and understanding. And when I sit and watch you, for example, talk about making one of your beautiful herbal blends, or it could be anything, you fucking light up. Like, you should see your aura change. Like, you are synapses snapping, and you know, the things are clicking, and you know, you just are on fire, and you're just lit with excitement about explaining, you know, I don't know, a spleen. Like, it could be literally anything, and you're just like, you are just like, this is my jam. Well, I just feel the same way about, you know, connecting with loved ones in heaven, or connecting with angels and spirit guides. It's, you know, I don't want to understand the body the way that you do. It's just not, it doesn't interest me. It's like, you know, right now we're changing accounting programs. And so there's lots of questions being asked about what's this and what's that. And my eyes just glaze over. Like, I don't want to do the math. I don't want to, you know, it's just not my thing. So it's so lovely that we all shine in the areas that we are passionate about. And it doesn't mean that one person is better than another. It doesn't mean that. It just means that we are shining in different ways. And when it comes to our own intuition, I do believe that we are our own best guru. And I say that all the time. I could be sharing such and such message from spirit, but how does it resonate within you? What do you feel within you? Take the things that resonate within you and apply them in the ways that feel right to you. And I really believe that within each of us, that we know better than anybody else what is required or needed.
Yes, I love that you said all those things. That reminds me of listening to Teal Swan talk on the Know Thyself podcast, and she was talking about superiority. And I think that when we can acknowledge ourselves for where we do have strengths and not go into this place of comparing other people's strengths, right? We can have more of this equality. And maybe at the end, I'll share the quote that she shared in that podcast. I would love you.
That's a great quote.
I'll share it right now or at the end?
Oh, no, whatever.
Let's do it at the end.
Yeah.
Come back around to it. Because when we are not trying to make things fair or compete to be equal, I think then we can see where other people have strengths and talents and differences. And that does not necessarily mean that then you are less than, right? That's that pedestaling. And I think when we put someone on a pedestal, we need to be careful that we're not giving our power away to them. Mm-hmm. And I think to admire and be inspired by people is beautiful. So I love doing that. And I love seeing these people that I think they're so wonderful because there's something that I can learn from them. Also, while taking my own power back and being like, girl, you got a skill set too.
Exactly.
Right? And pulling ourselves up if we are putting ourselves on the lesser. Okay. That's more the personal aspect of it. I would like to come back to the inspiration of this podcast and talk about you had an experience in a doctor-patient relationship.
I did.
And this is what lit the fire in me.
Right. Well, I shared the experience with you and you were just hopping up and down.
Fiery.
That shouldn't have happened. Yeah.
Yeah. So you want me to tell?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. You went for an appointment for acupuncture. And you had an amazing experience and you slept really well.
The first time. Yeah.
You went a second time and then this doc realizes what you're doing as a profession and proceeds to spend your appointment asking you questions and fangirling all over you, even though this is a male fangirl. But that energy of you're on a pedestal, what you do is so amazing that this doc actually lost sight of the power disparity between doctor-patient. Yeah. And that was the fire in me. The fire in me is that as a doctor, you are wearing a professional hat or stethoscope or whatever, lab coat, whatever you would like to say, but you're in this position of superiority because you're stepping into your expertise. And I think that the doctors, I want them realizing that they're in this place of power and that a patient is naturally vulnerable coming in. Mm-hmm. They're coming to seek help. They're paying mm-hmm. for this help. Mm-hmm. So we're already having this pedestal naturally in that relationship. And I think that it's important to recognize that. Mm-hmm. I think if we don't recognize that, we can cause harm. Because you did have a terrible appointment. You left feeling upset. You've paid for this experience, right? Mm-hmm. You've paid money for this. Mm-hmm. So I did want it to be a reminder to practitioners that when you're in practitioner role, honor the vulnerability of that patient in front of you and have a mindfulness that you are in a position to be serving them and taking care of them. I also want to pull up these patients and pull up their power. And this is all of us because we are all in a place where we need to go to a professional for something. To pull up your power and know that you're the one paying for the service and that you hold more power inside of you than you probably are aware of in regards to healing and everything. Like you say, you're your own best guru, right?
Absolutely.
So my support to you in that was either choose if this feels like something you want to go back to, then it would be appropriate to set a boundary. Like I want this experience to be sacred and quiet and whatever. Mm-hmm. Ask for what we're wanting in appointments, right? Mm-hmm. Or find somebody else that really does resonate with you, et cetera. Mm-hmm. The patient has power. And I understand that this might feel triggering or really uncomfortable for some people, especially when our medical system is what it is at the moment. And like I watched my brother-in-law be victim to the medical system for 6 years. Mm. I watched him get shuttled from professional to professional, to be so vulnerable, waiting for results, to have things delivered in a crass way.
Yeah.
To see his vulnerability judged and shamed in moments from these practitioners that are just trying to do their job and have forgotten the sacredness of the position that they're in. So my purpose with this one is to highlight the ethics of when we are stepping into that power dynamic. Because when I'm in office as Dr. Tara Drummond, I'm stepping onto that pedestal and I need to know that this person's coming to me for help and my advice.
That's right.
They're and the words to I you choose
for guidance.
Yes.
Yeah. Support.
And same as you, if you are doing a reading on somebody, mm-hmm. you are in a position of power when they are paying for that service and you have grace and compassion with your words. And you know that if somebody's coming to you going, Michelle, tell me the answers. I'm so lost in my life. Mm-hmm. If you say, go buy a horse, that person really might, right? There is a power in right. the messages we deliver.
Yes.
And I think I just want people to be mindful of when we are having these power dynamics and yeah. this disparity and where are we putting people on pedestals? Where can we take our power back?
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. I think that's a really walk together fiercely message.
Yeah, it is. I think that, you know, this is something I have learned over time and through experience. I can't necessarily speak to at all what it would be like to be a doctor and giving, you know, health information and medical information. I've been on only the receiving end of that, so I know what it feels like. So in my position, maybe it's comparing apples and oranges. It's not exactly quite the same thing. But what I will say is that I have learned from when I interact with people and maybe see somebody like a year after a reading or 6 months after a reading, and they say how they maybe took something or understood something, I'm like, oh my gosh, spirit would never mean that. Like, this was only like, because spirit's messages, I mean, the true beautiful messages of spirit, I mean, they're always so loving. And even if it is like, you know, maybe check this out or maybe have that looked at or things like that, it's never meant in a scary light whatsoever. It's always meant in the most love. And people are hard on themselves. And people will take it like, oh, I must have something wrong with me. I must be doing something wrong. I'm not doing this right. And that's the last thing spirit means. It's like, here's some thoughts, here's some suggestions. You look at what feels right to you or whatever, things like that. And so I've learned to be very mindful about the delivery, but spirit is blunt. Like, they don't beat around the bush. They don't send, you know, like, they don't give you like a stream of words that's 3 hours long. It's like, it might be like, check your iron levels, or, you know, like, I'll have a symbol or a message that say, oh, they might possibly have low iron. Now, that doesn't, when I deliver a message like that, if that were something to come through, it doesn't come through every session. It's not like that at all. But if it were something to come through, then I would really mindfully say, hey, next time you're in with an appointment, you know, maybe ask for and get that checked. You know, it never hurts to know where you are. And that's the truth. That's the absolute truth. And so you'd be very careful about that. But what I also know is that they will know mm-hmm. internally. We always do know. What we do is we doubt ourselves. Mm-hmm. We doubt. And so I'm betting that for Seb, when he was going through all of his medical things, you can share what he had if you want to, if you feel comfortable with that, that he knew that there was something wrong earlier on than it was found out. Like, and so I can only speak for my own self. And in 2018, it was discovered that I had a very, very large pheochromocytoma, and that is an adrenaline-producing tumor that grew on my adrenal gland and my kidney, and I had been referred to a cardiologist for years. I was seeing this cardiologist in Vancouver. And she was like, I don't know why your heart is doing what it's doing. And she didn't really have any answers. And I was put on like a medication that would maybe help control your heart rate. And it had nothing to do with my freaking heart mm-hmm. the entire time. And I kept saying that I don't actually think it's my heart. I'm not a doctor. I don't know what it is, but I don't actually think it's my heart. I would say things like, is it possible that it is hormone related? Not knowing, you know, mm-hmm. understanding what adrenaline does to a person. When you have that much freaking adrenaline running through your system, yeah, your heart's going to speak. It's just not where they're looking. And I didn't feel powerful enough to push that further or to speak back or to, like, I was just told immediately, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm the one who knows what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So this is the way we're going to move forward with this. And I'm like, God, like, I can meditate and slow my heart, like any, you know, and I could even in an adrenaline rush, I could meditate mm-hmm. and slow my heart down. I could talk to my heart, you know, all those mm-hmm. things. The doctor wasn't listening to mm-hmm. me.
And yeah. your heart's telling you it's not
it's
the heart.
It's not the heart.
It's not the heart.
It's so, a symptom.
Yeah.
It's a symptom of what's happening.
Yeah. And yeah. to clarify for anyone listening, a pheochromocytoma is going to be just flooding your body with adrenaline.
Yes.
So it's like you were yeah. in fight or flight, even though it wasn't yeah. coming from... Oh,
sweating profusely. Yes. I had the moon face, which is a big sign. Yeah, I look back on pictures of myself in 2017, for example, just at the height, like before it was discovered. And I looked like I was going to die.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I knew, mm-hmm. like I kept saying, you know, I would have. If it wasn't discovered,
yeah.
I would have.
Yeah.
It's called the autopsy tumor.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, because you can't live your life. Why just did this flooded person?
No, why did this person die? And they do an autopsy, and they had a pheochromocytoma. Yeah,
oh.
yeah. So that's just one example, and I'm sure people listening have their own. Everybody will have mm-hmm. their own, and I think I'm excited, you know, to have this conversation, Tara, because I hope that. You know, our intention for this, when we always sit and we talk about what our intention is for delivering an episode and why we want to have the conversation we want to have, is we want people to feel empowered mm-hmm. in their, you, it's your freaking body.
Yes.
It doesn't
louder for the ones in the back.
It doesn't belong to the professional that you're sitting in front of. It yes. belongs to you.
Yes.
And you are the one who knows how to wield it. And, you know, I say this all the time, like we don't need to be shown, you know, what we need to do better, what we, you know, if we all know. We don't need to be shamed of, you know, you need to get more sleep. I fucking know that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. Or, you know, whatever. Or you need to exercise more. Or you need to stretch. Okay. I know. I got it. Yeah. We all know those things. But we also, what we don't take, I think what we take for granted or don't understand is that on a deeper level, we actually know things. And so I'll just really, this is the last thing I'll share.
No, keep going.
This is the last, but this was really interesting. And so I have just come through hypocalcemia. And so there's a lot of, we'll do a cancer episode, I think. I think that would be really lovely. At any rate, I went through a health crisis in the fall. It led to something called hypocalcemia, which means that your calcium levels drop because your parathyroid gland decides, oh, I don't want to work right now. And so calcium levels drop. Now, I thought calcium was for bones. It isn't. Turns out it is for a lot of things in the body. And
without
so
it, you die.
Yes. And so I've been working on building up calcium levels. And I'm like, one of my other levels isn't right. So like, okay, body, what is it that you need? You need to take more iron. Great. Let's take more iron. I think that's a really good choice. And then I'm like, no, it's vitamin B. I'm listening to myself. I know it's vitamin B. I did ask my doctor. He very reluctantly gave me a vitamin B test. And it's really low.
Good for you for advocating for yourself.
But I had to listen. That was not an easy go. That was a push.
Good, Michelle.
That was a push. But I did get the results. It is low. I am right. I did know that on a mm-hmm. level that there was something that needs addressing there. And I mean, I'm addressing that on my own. But mm-hmm. now I know that I'll have support addressing that I need. Yeah.
Yes. And I think that you've been medically gaslit on more than one occasion, and mm-hmm. now you're going, no, I can trust my body says, because you had an experience going to another acupuncturist, Herbal, and you said these herbs affected me like this.
I could, yeah. She said, yeah, yes, this acupuncturist said, that's why I chose a different one, because because she's like, this will absolutely help you sleep. And I'm like, it makes my heart race. But, you know, maybe...
And she goes, not possible. This not cat possible. Doesn't do that.
And I'm like, well, she might not have seen another multiple endocrine neoplasia patient. I don't know that. Yeah. She might not even have the knowledge of that. I don't know that. Yeah. But I'm like, but it did.
It did.
And so she's like, okay, you're going to try it this way. And so I did. I tried it exactly, measuring the exact recipe that she said, no, made my heart race still. Mm-hmm. So there's something in there that just affects me differently.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm not the norm. Maybe not.
You're a medical unicorn.
Well, yeah, possibly. Maybe I'm not the norm. But hear me.
Yes.
Hear me. Yes. When I'm speaking to you and saying it, I just felt, again, very unheard and disrespected. I'm like, this is not going to be a part of my health team because I need to be heard and respected. And so I want to also encourage you, for those of you listening, if you've not heard of Chris Carr, she really speaks to this as well. And her handle on Instagram is Crazy Sexy Chris. We'll maybe tag it in one of our posts. But she speaks about being the CEO of your own health and how important it is to hire and fire as you need so that you're getting what you need. And then the other thing that I want to say is this is why I love naturopathic medicine so much, because sometimes it covers some of the bases that our Western medicine does not. It can, and a naturopathic doctor will spend more time. They are not rushing patients in and out, you know, giving them a 3-minute session. They're paying attention and they're present for the period of time that they're with their patients. And I've gotten far more out of naturopathic sessions than I have from any Western medicine session by a long shot.
Oh, that makes me almost want to cry, Michelle. I love naturopathic medicine, and thank you for saying that about the medicine. I feel so passionate about bringing heart and love to medicine, that patients are not a number. They do not fit in a box that behaves a exact certain way that the study says. We are all so unique. And that's the difference between naturopathic medicine and our Western medicine that we have here, is that naturopathic medicine sees the individual and wants to treat the root cause of the dis-ease in the body, wherever that's coming from. Like, it can be physical unease. It can be like from a physical trauma. It can be mental. It can be emotional, spiritual, nutritional. And they have all these different tools to look at that cause. And I think that when we're looking at the, like, let's look at the rotten foundation and let's really get down there and fix that. Whereas we're used to the pharmaceutical model that would be the symptoms need treatment.
Whack-a-mole.
Yeah, whack-a-mole. Let's treat that symptom. But you're ending up with all this byproduct of other symptoms that are actually like side effects from the treatment. So it puts you in this whack-a-mole circle. Whereas naturopathic medicine, I love that it's this investigative puzzle. Like, each patient that walks in is different and unique, and they are like this gift that we get to unwrap in our inquiry into why is the body showing us these symptoms. Let's figure that out. And I that's what I'm so passionate about naturopathic medicine. So thank you. It's a different mindset. It's looking at a person from a different lens, and it's just so necessary.
Well, it
right
can
now
really help people to feel seen and heard. And I think that's one of the things that's missing in our medical system right now. And then, you know, I mean, I know that doctors are uber busy and they've got, you know, way too much, way more workload than they should have. It's not natural, and it's really unfortunate. There's so many layers to the situation or problems. But I think sometimes that it's almost like there's almost a forget that people are people, that people have feelings, that people have, you know, that, you know, to receive, you know, challenging news, or to, you know, try to wrap your brain around what is happening, or, you know, to understand, or, you know, things like that. I think that that just can come across so harsh and so callous sometimes, and just thoughtless, honestly, in ways.
Yeah.
And that's hard. That's really hurtful. And I think I mean, gosh, we could go way down so many rabbit holes here, Tara. So I'm gonna have you rein me back in here. But I just, you know, I think that sometimes, you know, when we sit, you know, particularly in a doctor's office, we're there with these symptoms of, you know, whatever that may be, and you're really looking to this person to help because you're there because something is really wrong. There's something really uncomfortable, or there's something that's just not working properly that you're worried.
Yeah.
Yep. And you are there because you do want to do something about it, that you do want to fix it. And then just to be told, oh, it's nothing, or it's no big deal, or perhaps like you should take this harsh medication, and then you go home and it's not nice. I mean, there's just so many things in there, and it's just so quick, and there's no time. There is no time to discuss it. There's no time to speak about why something like this may have come up in the first place, like why there's, you know, a foundational issue, or, you know, is there, you know, something like, you know, lifestyle wise, or is there something, you know, emotionally supportive for you that you're in need of? Like all of that is dismissed and just, you know, just not even a part of the equation. But I don't really understand how we can separate a being into pieces. It's a whole. Mm-hmm. And there's always so many layers. There's always so many, and you don't know what another person has walked. You don't know what they have been through. You don't know what, you know, trauma or abuse or, you know, things that may have been a part of it. And so it can make sense sometimes why somebody has what they have, or, you know, but, mm-hmm. but if we talk to people in that way, if we talk to people like humans, I think that would be so much lovelier.
Well, and we're treating them at their humanity, right? I have so much compassion for doctors in the medical system that are overworked, burnt out, doing their best. I do not think that the majority of them are necessarily ego-driven, going having this God complex that they're going to fix. I think that exists in the system, kind of like how it's built, that the doctor's the God, they're going to give the treatment, and then the patient will be saved. And I think we're seeing that model not so much work. So I do want to speak to the hearts of these doctors that if it's feeling like it's not working, there may be another way. And shifting into this more holistic, natural approach, I think we're going to start getting better results. Like, that is my goal when I sit down with a patient, is to have the empathy and the compassion to be able to walk in their shoes. And when I walk in their shoes within my heart, I know the physical body and how it would be talking. So I go, oh, okay, so we're seeing these symptoms pop up because of XYZ. And I want to know that patient's in-body experience. I want to know what it's like to walk in there, because like you say, they know their body best. Mm-hmm. So if somebody tells me something that is not necessarily making sense in my head, or I go, I think it might be this, and maybe I even think that I might know better than them, and I might, I will also shelf that to be present and hear their entirety of this, because their experience is their experience. And that's where we've got to meet people. Right?
Yeah.
So I think to go like I have a loved one right now, and the doctor goes, you need to be on a statin, get on a statin. And we're not going to talk about statins. Like we've said in a previous episode, I've given up my pharmaceutical rights. So it is not within my scope to be speaking of them. You can look at the research on your own if you want to statins. How do you prescribe that to somebody if you've not asked what they're eating, if you have not asked about their alcohol consumption, their exercise, their emotional well-being? Like, why do you think the body is raising cholesterol? Like, let's look at the why. We don't just slap that without looking at the whole. So this episode is really inspired to bring that power back to people that they do know best, and to a reminder to be mindful. Not to not put people on pedestals. I think it's very natural. It is within my body anyways. And I'm just getting more curious with this whole pedestaling. Mm-hmm. And for anybody listening that has any part of me on a pedestal, I would like to step down from that. On this podcast, I'm Tara, and I'm going to pull from the wisdom that I have as a doctor. But looking at me, I'm not perfect. By any fucking means. I have yelled at my kids. I have backslid in my own health over the last few years because it's been right. so fucking hard.
Yeah.
So I've been doing my best to get by and doing my best to take care of my body in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. Do I exercise every day? No. Do I eat the way that this listener may imagine that this naturopathic doctor eats? No. Have I been taking my supplements to take good care of myself? Honestly, Michelle, no. Mm-hmm. Like, I have had this backslide in the last few years because it's felt like so much that I've almost been in this survival place of get through the day, take care of the kids, do the next right thing. And through this winter, I'm seeing that I'm ready to take back my power in the way that I care for my body and That's show up right. for myself.
Yeah.
So there is no part of me that is perfect or wants
Same
to be on a pedestal.
Same for any of us. Both Same of us. For me.
Yes.
Exactly. Like, I mean, especially you and I mean, we have some very real conversations. You know the inside out backwards, all of it. Nothing's hidden. And there's no perfection here, is there? Absolutely not. And why would we want that? Like, the mess is half the fun. And it's how we learn and grow also. Like, you know, and I am committed to being a soul in evolution, and we don't do that by being comfortable, by, you know, everything every day. Oh, it's 8 o'clock and I pop my, you know, zinc and, you know, on, you know, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. No. It's just, it's a work in progress, and it is literally doing just the best that we can every single day. And sometimes you're right, it's survival. Yeah. And that's the best that it can be. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. That reminds me of what our friend Mark Grove says often. Is that he's evolving out loud. And I feel like that's what we aspire to do here.
We are.
The squishy bit that just hit me and I would like to finish with is, now that you are, I'm not chasing after you like a fangirl having you on a pedestal and knowing your humanity, I get to love you. And I think that when we're not on a pedestal and we see each other as equal humans, that's where the juicy bits are. That's where the connection is. If we have somebody on a pedestal and somebody down on the dirt, that's not love. That's not connection. Right?
Yeah.
It's something more created from the ego. So being mindful of when we are stepping into our professional hat or our caretaker, like, be in recognition that you do have that power disparity and the other person's in a vulnerable place. And in the end, we're all equals. Like, I just...
Oh, we are. I know. Spirit doesn't see it any differently either. Mm-hmm. That's so true, Taryn. It's such a good point. And I really want to drive that one home that, you know, like, for example, I mean, my sister and I joke about this all the time. All of our children, I have 2 sons. She has a son and a daughter. All 4 of them. And we have another nephew, also incredibly athletic. Oh my God, like, amazing athletes. And I'm so grateful they did not get my genetics in this department, because, like, my sister and I, we joke that we're the participation ribbon sisters. Like, you know how all your friends would, you know, they would display their ribbons on their shirt, first place, second place, you know, all this, you know, the participation ribbons. I remember them being green for whatever reason. Yeah, lots of those. Thanks for coming out,
you
honey.
Tried.
Thanks for coming out. Pat you on the head. Oh, look at you using your legs and trying to run. Good girl. You know, that was me. I mean, I am not athletic whatsoever. It doesn't mean that I don't enjoy doing stuff like skiing or yoga or walking or hiking. And I mean, but listen, you play on a soccer field. I would just be your comic relief if you put me on the field. It'd be like, oh, there's a ball coming, Michelle. Maybe you should run to that.
Go, you can get it.
Yeah. No, she can't. No. At any rate, we absolutely, you know, so, like, do we all need to shine in the exact same ways? No, we do not. We don't. And it's so lovely that everybody shines in different ways and that they honor what their characteristics and qualities are. And so what does that mean? Just because I can't swim as fast as my niece or nephew, does that make me, you know, somehow lesser than of a person? No, it does not.
Or are you having any less fun swimming?
Right.
Right?
Right? Yes. Exactly. And so whatever it is that you're good at, whatever it is that is not your forte, does not make you lesser than anybody else. And I think what would be lovely in our world if we could cheerlead one another a little bit and encourage one another in the things that we are really good at and the places that we thrive, and we just honor that. Oh yeah, I love that you did that. I love that about you. It's such a great quality. And I think if we could see it in others, we'd probably be a little bit more receptive to seeing it within ourselves. And so I love the encouragement of, you know, when you're out in the world looking for things that make you smile, reasons to appreciate things that you see and people doing stuff that they do, and then acknowledging it, you know. Mm-hmm. So maybe you did have a great doctor's appointment, you know, maybe that was your experience. Tell your doctor that this really helped, or, you know, appreciate. It's not that you're pedestaling them or thinking that they're God and that they can solve everything, but they just did something really, really well.
They did a good job at their job.
That's right.
Yeah,
exactly. And I think that's a really lovely way to move through the world, is looking for things that people are doing right. So this started out in terms of, you know, like this hard experience, and it's not all negative. I don't mean that at all. I mean, there's a lot of learning that happened there for me as well. And that's never a bad thing. I think that, it's never, never not a good time to remember your empowered state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what a beautiful reminder to move through and give that positive feedback where we're wanting to. And it makes me think of this week. I went swimming, swam some laps at the pool, and right as I'm finishing, there's a baby class starting and these moms are coming in. We're bringing it back to this.
Yes. How
they gush over dads, but not moms. And I am walking through this week feeling like, when I see these moms who have dressed their teeny weeny babies into their bathing suits, got her own bathing suit on. She's got the bucket seat in one arm, a baby in the other. She's trying to shove her bit. You know, it's a lot take a baby to the pool.
Yes, it is.
So as I see these moms come through, I talk to the babies. I say, hi, you're getting to go swimming. Like, what a nice mom you've got to bring you here. Or look at mom. She's so strong carrying all that stuff. What a great mom you've got. And I'm just, I remember the tenderness of being in that little tiny kid phase, and it's not too far off from where I am now. And my head feels like it's above water in a new way. So I do, mm-hmm. I see these moms right in that first year, those first couple of years, even once you transition to two, right? And I'm like, good job, mommy. So for anybody listening that needs to soak that in, whatever your age your kids are, soak that in. Mm-hmm. And I think that when we're tumbling around in the dirt, we're grounded together. Nobody's on a pedestal. Mm-hmm. Let's play in the dirt together. I think that's where connection thrives. That's where play is. That's where fun is, when we can meet at our humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And pull our power up to know where we have excellence and our uniqueness that makes us excellent. So I want to share the teal swan thing.
I really love this.
So the whole episode was amazing. This is the Know Thyself podcast with Andre Ducum, and he had Teal Swan on recently as a guest. So that one was awesome. Listen to the whole thing if you want to. Here was something that she talked about it, and I thought, yes, because in a world right now where we're trying, or it appears that we're trying to make everything equal and fair and bubble wrap our kids and keep everything, we're losing a bit of the grit and the resiliency of being unique. And that's not always easy to be unique. You know, the world can be a little harsh. And I think that we need to raise ourselves up and our children up to have this resiliency to handle difference. So this is what this quote reminded me of. She says, whenever somebody has an element of excellence, an element of skill, you've got a power disparity. That is so important to recognize, that there is this power disparity, not only because it's dangerous if you don't recognize the power that you have or that other people have, but it's really inefficient. When in a moment you can be like, you know what? This is your area, and you are the one that is excellent at this. Take the wheel. We actually get somewhere much faster as a human race. Even when we look at each other in this way, instead of constantly trying to level the playing field. I also feel like when we can recognize where you have some element of superiority to the people around you, you are actually able to give away that power and recognize where other people are excellent and where they have the power. The power struggle goes away. That's really beautiful because you are not in this constant fight and you're also not feeling the constant isolation. You are more able to get along in a harmonious way. I love that quote, Michelle.
I do too.
Because we're not fighting over a pedestal. I'm better at this. It's not that competing and that comparing.
Yeah.
It's stand in your light. Stand in your excellence.
Yes, exactly.
And have awe for other people's. Like, we're all built so differently. And I've just, this winter, I've been shifting through this, like, this imposter syndrome or this low self-esteem or this shame. We've been clearing lots of stuff. And I feel like we're going into Year of the Dragon. We're in Year of the Dragon when this comes out. Like, let's pull up our power and know where we have something to offer and where we have this excellence. So I wanted to leave people with pondering that. What is their excellence? What are they good at? And we so often, like you say, doubt that in ourselves. And you're always inviting people. What's your unique gift? What's your unique beauty? There's power in that.
Absolutely. And looking for things that you admire in other people, but not thinking that you are somehow lesser than because your beautiful light shines in a different way.
Yes.
For you to join us on our podcast page on Instagram at Walk Together Fiercely. Here we can chat, have community, ask questions, and lots of other extra information that you might not get on our podcast. For more information about us, you can find Dr. Tara on Instagram at Dr. Tara Drummond. For more information about me, Michelle, you can find me on Instagram at Michelle Morrison Medium. All other information about me is on my website, thebalancedsoul.com. This podcast is recorded by Michelle and Tara and is edited and arranged by Sammy Lucan.
Any medical information provided is information only and is not to be used for diagnostic or treatment purposes. This information is not a substitute for professional diagnosis and treatment. Please consult your healthcare provider before making any healthcare decisions or for guidance and treatment of specific medical conditions.